Zena, I'll always love you.
Welcome everyone to Zena and Uber's podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 89. This podcast show is for all the Zena and Uber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So welcome everyone. I hope everyone is doing fantastically well. Getting closer and closer as we speak to the holiday. As it is, I think we're now down to, 3 weeks? Less than 3 weeks? Till Ho-Ho Man comes down and drops through your chimneys and brings you all those great little presents that you always thought you didn't really need. Me, myself, and I was over it when they started putting Christmas decorations up in October. But anyway, that's just me. As far as I am concerned in regards to my running, well, haven't been doing any running because the knees are still a little bit, not talking to me. I did have my physio come over yesterday and work me over. She's a physio massage therapist. So, needless to say, after putting the elbows in body parts that you didn't think an elbow should go in, and the neighbors wondering, why is there screaming coming from that house? I decided this morning that I was going to venture out on the push bike and get out on, do a little biking. So I went and rode for 5K, and that's about it was a little bit over 3.5 miles. And the fun part, it was the first half of it was against the wind. So I was literally standing up on the pedals, pushing down to try and get, because the wind was that hard. And I was sitting there cursing my knees. Because, like, if it weren't for them, I wouldn't have had to go through that. And then on the way back, I just sat on the seat and let the wind push me back. Because I didn't even have to push a pedal, I think, once or twice. The rest of the time, it was just by the wind. And I was like, la, 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 la. But I wonder why it only took half the time to come back, though. Anyway, we're going to get into the show and see what's going on. Well, by the old turning of the pages there that you can hear in the background, it's time for the book review. And in this week's book review, brought to you by moi, because my book wench and my book hoe probably don't know that I'm actually starting to change the days that I do the show and record and things like that. So note to self, remind them. This week's book review over at Bold Stroke Books is by Anne Laughlin, and it's called Veritas. When the hallowed halls of academia become a stage for murder, newly appointed dean Beth Ellis's search for the truth leads her to unexpected discoveries about her own heart. For Beth Ellis, Grafton College and its faculty and students are her home and family. But the president of the college rubs everyone the wrong way. The new English professor on campus isn't much more popular, and Beth has her hands full trying to keep the peace as various campus factions quarrel. Still, she didn't expect a tenure battle to end in murder. Sally Sullivan left the Chicago Police Homicide Division and returned to her hometown where, as chief of police, she expected her greatest challenges to be dealing with car accidents and drunk drivers. But faced with a murder investigation with more motives than evidence and an inexperienced staff, Sally finds small-town policing isn't as simple as she thought. Neither are her growing feelings for Beth Ellis. As Sally and Beth's different worlds collide, their desire to solve the murder is complicated by their unexpected attraction. A second murder on campus places the survival of the college itself, their tenuous relationship, and even their lives in jeopardy. So, once again, that is by author Anne Laughlin, and it's called Veritas. We'll be right back. And in our book review this week, which actually it's not a book review, it's a movie review, but you know, I've only had one cup of coffee, so you can't really complain. But anyway, Pam, my book ho, drink a cup of coffee first and then talk. My movie ho has sent in Late Bloomers, this 1996 movie. And according to the little excerpt, it goes like this. The story of two ordinary women in their mid-years who live deep in the Bible Belt, populated by square teachers, libidinous students, and home to suburban monotony. Carly is a married woman with two kids, who works as a school secretary. Dinah is the single, lonely math teacher who coaches the girls' basketball team. Longtime disinterest between the women perchance evolves into a series of one-on-one basketball games, during which the two women grow closer physically and emotionally, until one heated game ends spontaneously in a kiss. The outcry from family, friends, and the community as the relationship between the two women bloom creates a timely story in which it is woven the notion of family, of gay relationships, and which raises the banner of gay marriage. So, that's a Late Bloomers, 1996 movie, and thank you, Pam.
You snapped, haven't you?
Well, most people say that I have. But on the latest rock news over at her ReneeO'Connor.net, she's got that her December newsletter is out, so get on over there and check it out.
Well, if that is the worst thing that happens today, I'll be thrilled.
And so will I. Well, over on the official Lucy Lawless fan club site, yesterday, as everyone is aware, that the December 5th Planet A March and Concert for the Climate, Lucy was involved in that over in New Zealand, and you were able to listen to it broadcast live, like I made the announcement last week. And I hope that everything went well. And you can also check out over on the Lucy Lawless fan club site that she has a little YouTube clip there for Lucy Lawless warms up in the shower, a scene for the concert. So check it out.
Come and get.
All right. We continue on with A Matter of Pride, Part 8. It was a mariner's bar close to the water and smelling of old fish and bad beer. Zena half expected her boots to stick to the floor as she followed Draco's stocky form through the early lunch crowd. She was already regretting coming inside. Draco found a table near the back and started to circle it, but Zena neatly circumvented him and settled into the furthest chair, her back to the wall and her legs sprawled out comfortably. Her old comrade paused in mid-step, then gave her a twisted smile as he took the chair across from her.
"You never did answer me, Zena,"
he drawled.
"What are you doing here?"
The warrior settled back in a chair, glad to get off her leg for a while. The inn was stuffy, but they were in the shadow of a wall, and was still bearable inside. She was debating how much to tell him when a female server came over, resting a half plank against one slim hip and fixing them with a bored, tired stare. It distracted Draco.
"Give me a tank and a loaf and a bowl,"
he ordered,
"and make it fast."
The woman deliberately ignored him and lifted an eyebrow at Zena.
"Surprise me."
She gave her a rakish half-grin, getting just a barest twinkle of tired amusement in return. The woman turned and left, and Zena steepled her fingers together and rested her lips against them.
"I'm taking care of some business," she told Draco.
"Oh?"
He leaned forward a little.
"Anything profitable? I knew you couldn't stay on that hokey path of redemption stuff for long."
"True." Zena's lips twitched in wry acknowledgement.
"You haven't been around these parts for a while, have you, Draco?"
She countered.
"When did you start raiding so far for slaves?"
He looked a little unsettled at that.
"What's it to you?"
Zena waited patiently. The inn was filling with dock workers, and they were getting appraising looks from the men who shuffled in, crowding the room.
"I go where the demand is,"
he finally answered.
"You get a bonus for exotic merchandise, Zena. You should know that."
Draco studied her.
"Yeah. I've been overseas for a couple of years. Just started trading here again. Didn't realize how much I could get for some of the kids I found. It's a gold mine."
He paused again.
"One in?"
Now Draco gave her a rakish grin.
"I could use a decent first mate."
Zena knew better than to preach morality to someone who knew her as well as Draco once had.
"No thanks," she said.
"I've already got a job." She leaned back a little.
"Why is the market so big? I thought there were plenty of live bodies around who'd just want a spot on the floor and a meal."
Draco shrugged,
as their server came back and delivered up 2 cups and a platter.
Beats me.
He ripped off a piece of bread and scooped up some stew, then shoved it into his mouth.
Maybe those sandal wearers up on the hill got bored with the locals. They're the ones who paid a bundle for my cargo.
Xena took a sip of the mug she'd been given, which smelled strongly of barley.
Yeah? The council, you mean? Yeah.
A snort.
Oh, yeah. They sent down 2 guys who pretended to be slave brokers. But what a couple of fakes. Saw right through 'em. Not a merchant's bone in their bodies. Just a couple of lackeys.
The courtyard of the townhouse flickered into Xena's mind, and she wondered. Slaves were a commodity in the city. All the upper-class citizens had them, and the services that drove the place were run by them. Why would the city council need a special supply? Especially foreign ones, that would have to be trained from the ground up and taught to speak the language. Something didn't make sense. Sounds at the doorway caught her attention. She glanced up, very surprised to see familiar faces entering. 4 men had just come in, dressed in serviceable seaman's gear. The foremost turned and caught her eye and tapped his companions. They made their way over across the room directly for her. Draco looked up and saw them, then glanced at Xena.
Collecting trouble as usual, Xena.
The lead man reached a table and with a clumsy grace dropped to a knee and ducked his head.
Good day, General. Didn't expect to see you here.
He rested a muscular arm at the table, and the light caught the hawk's head tattoo prominent on his shoulder. Hello, Breston. Xena replied quietly. Same here. You just get in?
Aye.
The Amphipolitan trader agreed.
Had Hades on time weathering the storms, but we've picked up a nice cargo coming on past Thrace.
He glanced at the slack-jawed Draco, then returned his attention to Xena.
We'll be unloading. Anything you've been eating?
Nah, Xena smiled. Make 'em pay your price, though. Weather stopped most of the supply trains up here. Things'll be short pretty soon. Breston grinned with unrestrained glee.
We were hoping.
He stood and casually saluted her, touching a fist to his chest and nudging his companion to move on to a free table nearby.
A good day to you, General.
Xena waited a long beat before she turned her eyes from the retreating men and met Draco's gaze. He snorted.
I should have known. Leopards never do change their spots. So you gathered a new army, huh? Figures.
He took a gulp of ale.
So, you in the market for some willing bodies? I remember you used to pay premium for the knife-looking ones.
Xena almost backhanded him. Her shoulder jerked, in fact, and Draco caught the faint motion, his glance becoming alert as he moved back slightly. It was the truth, though, and she knew it. No fault to Draco for remembering. Xena forced her temper to settle and curled her fingers around her cup instead. What would the militia commander of Amphipolis need with exotic slaves, Draco? She replied, catching his eyes. Caught flat-footed, her old lieutenant stared at her in confusion.
What?
You were wrong. The warrior told him matter-of-factly, I went home. With a sudden motion, she stood, tossing a couple of dinars on the table, then walked out and never looked back once. Palladium became groggily conscious of a couple of things at once. 1, it stunk. 2, she hurt like Hades all over. And 3, she was buried under more crap than she could imagine. Slowly she felt around her, fingers sinking into a thick, black mud as she sorted out the bits of debris. A sensation of warmth suddenly flooded her lower body, and she had a moment of earthly worry that she'd lost it and soiled herself. Then, the warmth receded and she realized it was just the damp, stupid water. With a muttered curse, she started throwing bits of junk off of her, squirming in the mud as she got out of her under branches and shattered wood that shed off her shoulders as she dragged herself up into the hazy gray light. Finally free, she rolled over and wiped the gunk out of her eyes.
Crap!
She sat up and looked around, and immediately wished she hadn't. She was surrounded by debris and mud, covered lumps that might or might not have been once living things, but none of them were either big enough or small enough to be either Kate or that damn horse. Worse, try as she might, she couldn't seem to remember what had happened, except she did recall a loud noise and a scream. Palladia considered her situation.
This sucks,
she muttered.
This totally sucks.
With a groan, she shoved herself upright and got her feet underneath her, making a pained hissing noise as she felt cuts and scrapes all along her body. Then she plodded off in the direction of the water that was running, yanking her boots free of the clinging, stinking mud with each step. Of course, the only way she really had to go in was uphill. With a sigh, she started up the slope, attempting to shake the clumps of mud off her as she walked. She got to the top of the rise and paused, looking around to figure out where to go next. Her eyes took in the waterlogged downslope in front of her, then she blinked. Sprawled motionless near the edge of the water was a horse, its lifeless body trapping a slim, struggling form. But that wasn't what pissed her off. Standing over Kate was a stranger, apparently trying to steal the pack strapped across the young Amazon's back. Palladia dropped the wad of mud she'd been scraped off her arm.
"Hey!"
she bellowed, starting down the slope at a clumsy run that nevertheless covered the ground effectively. The thief looked up in surprise and spotted her. The reaction wasn't what Palladia had expected. A piercing yell of alarm came out of the intruder's mouth. Kate's bag was dropped, and the thief took off running, apparently in a state of utter panic. Palladia chased after her, and with surprising luck and the fact that the thief got trapped in a patch of thick mud, slammed into the struggling figure without an attempt to slow down. They both went down into the mud, and Palladia took great glee in bouncing on top of her target, driving a squirming figure deep into the mud.
"Take that, you stinking rat!"
She pounded the sodden figure with her fist.
"Stupid son of a buckeye!"
"Pally!"
Kate's voice, laced with urgency, caught her attention. Palladia turned her head and looked at her.
"You okay?"
"Not quite."
Kate grabbed the upthrust root and pulled herself forward.
"Look, I know you're having a lovely time, but this does hurt awfully."
"Oh, crap." Palladia immediately jumped off her phone and headed over. Kate admitted to being in pain meant her leg had probably been ripped clean off or something. She got to her friend's side and grabbed the dead horse's limb, hauling at the carcass with solid strength. Out of the corner of her eye, she spotted the thief scrambling up and running off.
"Chicken!"
she yelled after the retreating form, as she successfully heaved the horse's body over and rolled it off of Kate.
"Gosh!"
Kate exhaled, pulling herself free and slithering through the mud away from the animal.
"Thanks ever so much, Pally. That was awful."
"Huh."
With a frown, the tall woman hopped over a log and went to Kate's side, dropping down into the mud on one knee and putting a cautious hand on the younger girl's shoulder. Kate's face was white as a sheet, not that you could see much of it under the mud, and she didn't look too hot.
"You okay?"
Kate was fairly covered in mud and worse.
"I was quite under that horse,"
she stated softly,
"and it was pushing me into this awful muck. And I..."
Palladia watched her closely.
"Why are your teeth chattering? It ain't cold."
The young Amazon lowered her head and didn't answer. Palladia frowned, trying to figure out what was going on and what she would do next. She realized Kate was still half underneath the dead horse's legs, so she decided on a practical course of action and sat down in the muck, taking hold of Kate by her arms and pulling her forward, half onto her own lap. Kate took hold of her leathers and helped, curling up in her friend's embrace and burying her face in Palladia's chest, much to the total Amazon's confusion. Not knowing what else to do, she wrapped her arms around Kate and hugged her.
Who the hell was that creep?"
she asked, more to distract Kate than anything else.
"But bother, I don't care,"
Kate answered.
"Good job scaring her off."
"Guess my yelling must have done it,"
Palladia muttered. Kate was silent for a moment, then she lifted her head and peeked up at Palladia's face.
"Not hardly,"
she said.
"You look quite like Hades' worst monster pawn let loose."
"Oh,"
Palladia scowled.
"Well, so do you."
They regarded each other. Then they heard the yells. It was close to dinner time when Gabrielle finally left the practice ground. Several of the other games participants trailed after her, chatting easily about the bout and the story she told. Micah followed them silently, bemused at how the blonde woman had changed so many attitudes as quickly and easily as she had. He had been very surprised to see her fight, and as amazed as the rest of the watchers, not only at her skill, but at the intense ferocity she displayed when she wielded her chosen weapon. It was as though the gentle, friendly bard had completely vanished, replaced by this grim, intent warrior whose focus and drive simply overwhelmed her opposition. Weird. During the first break, then, Gabriella sat down in the courtyard and told her story. It was about Xena, and also about her, and everyone had gathered around to listen. Some people had been curious, some openly skeptical, but none of them had walked away once she started. My guide found himself pulled into the story, and he clapped like everyone else did after she finished, but he also thought about how Zena and Gabrielle's partnership really did seem to work.
So, Gabrielle's voice made him jump a little. Any idea what they've got planned for dinner?
Micah cleared his throat a little.
They were roasting an ox when I went past the kitchen earlier, he said. Is that all right with Zena? I could go out to the market and get something else if it's not.
No, that's fine, the bard said. We want to go into the big room tonight, but now that you mention it, I wonder. Ah.
Gabrielle felt a smile take her for her face as she spotted the tall, cloaked figure ducking inside the door. Zena straightened, and her eyes swept the crowd, finding Gabrielle's at once. The gentle twinkle appeared in those blue eyes, though the warrior's dour mask didn't slip. The bard immediately changed her direction and headed towards a partner, easing past the slower athletes and chatting servants.
Hey.
Hey, Zena replied, cocking her head a bit and regarding her. Around them, people were stopping and staring, apparently deducing who Zena was by her company. How'd things go?
Good. Gabrielle gave a small, assertive nod. You?
Eh. Their eyes met. Without further word, they turned and walked together through the arch, angling towards the hallway that led to the quarters they'd been assigned. Micah trailed behind them a little uncertainly. Gabrielle kept an unobtrusive eye on her soulmate, noting the faint hint of a limp Zena couldn't quite disguise. She could also see the minute signals that the day's activities had tired the warrior out. A tiny furrow in her brow, the shift of muscle along her jawline. She waited for them to clear most of the crowd before she tucked a casual hand around Zena's elbow and eased a bit closer.
You'll never guess who I got a visit from today.
Zena pondered a bit. Celesta?
Nope. Cold.
Athenian Council?
Nope. Even colder.
Zena frowned. Gabrielle? She sighed testily.
Ooh. Definitely short-tempered. Aphrodite.
Gabrielle replied in a low tone. She reached out and pushed the door open, letting Zena precede her and following the warrior inside. Micah slipped past to his own little niche as the door closed behind them.
Aphrodite? Zena repeated. What's she up to?
Good question.
Gabrielle casually steered her partner to one of the chairs and waited for her to settle into it.
What's more important is that Mom and a party from Amphipolis is on their way here. And they'll be here tomorrow.
Zena grunted and rubbed her temples.
Great.
Dory's with them.
Blue eyes lifted in surprise.
Damn, the warrior said. What's my mother thinking, bringing her here?
She sounded annoyed.
What was she thinking, bringing anyone here? I thought we'd agreed they let us handle this.
Gabrielle settled in the chair arm and slipped an arm around Zena's shoulder.
Well, if she was coming, I can see why she'd bring Dory rather than leave her alone with someone. But, yeah.
She shook her head.
I don't get it. After all this time, they don't trust us?
Zena scowled. They'd better have a damn good reason for this.
She stated, leaning back a little, letting her head rest against Gabrielle's side. What happened?
The bard murmured. A brief smile. Bumped into someone I knew down on the docks.
What were you doing down there again?
Gabrielle asked curiously.
I thought you were going to the academy.
I did, Zena said, one hand idly curling itself around Gabrielle's calf. I found your friend and told her what she was going to die if she didn't leave you alone, kicked around the academy a little, and then took a walk down the hill.
Yeah?
Gabrielle watched the tall body relax, slumping against her slightly.
And? Who'd you meet?
Draco. Gabrielle was honestly shocked. It was the last name she'd expected to hear, a name from the very beginning of their joint past together, and one that went far beyond that for Zena.
Wow.
They were both quiet, watching the twilight gather in the window, staining the stone bluish gray and bringing the breath of cool, still damp air to waft across them. It had stopped raining outside, but the clouds still covered the sky.
He's running a slave ship,
Zena finally said, bringing in young kids, mostly from overseas. He claims the Athenian Council is interested in all the product he can bring in.
Gabrielle's brow furrowed. Do you think that's true?
She sounded skeptical. Zena shrugged. He does. She shifted closer, extending her boots out onto the stone floor. Doesn't make sense to me, though.
Me either.
Gabrielle twined her fingers into Zena's hair.
I'd like to meet up with Draco, though, she said. I have to thank him.
The warrior reacted, straightening and turning to look up at her. What? Thank him? Gabrielle, he never did anything for you except send a couple of thugs to kidnap girls from your village. Gabrielle smiled.
Yes, he did.
She touched Zena's forehead with a fingertip.
And those thugs caught your eye, and you came to rescue us.
Her gaze softened.
Sent away. It's his fault we met.
Zena blinked, then her thoughts went inward for several heartbeats. God, what a silver lining that cloud had. She muttered with a soft snort of laughter. Gabrielle chuckled as well and resumed her position draped over Zena's shoulders.
Yeah.
She felt Zena take a breath, the motion lifting her entire body, and a sudden tension made itself known through the link they had. She frowned and drew a breath herself to question her partner, but Zena's speech cut her off. Gabrielle?
Yeah?
A long pause. Do you ever regret that day? The question stunned her into silence. After a few breathless moments, Gabrielle sucked in a lungful of air and blinked.
You mean meeting you? Leaving home?
Would you have changed what happened? Zena's voice was quiet and speculative, almost resigned in the tone. Even a little? Gabrielle gave the question the consideration it truly deserved. She rested her chin on Zena's head and cleared her throat a bit.
If I could go back to that moment, knowing what I know right now, do you know what I'd say to you, Zena?
The warrior hesitated, one hand flexing gently on her knee. What? The bar slid to one side so that her lips were right up against Zena's ear.
Take me with you.
She couldn't see Zena's face, but she felt the muscles move the ear she was whispering into as the warrior smiled. A wave of warmth and affection swept over her as she found herself smiling back even before Zena spoke. And I would. The warrior turned her head and their eyes met. A sly twinkle appeared, removing the grave and seriousness of the moment. Except I'd make you take the skirt off first.
Wench!
Gabrielle leaned forward and bit her on the nose.
I'd have gotten something better to sleep on than a horse and blanket out of you that first night, in that case.
They both laughed, with such a touch of giddiness. Zena sighed and shook her head. So, Dory's coming, huh? We're in trouble. Gabrielle agreed.
We sure are.
It was full dark outside, and the room lit only by fragrant candles and a glow from the fire pit as Gabrielle fiddled with the knotted fabric on her shoulder. Behind her, she could hear Zena moving around, the soft scrape of the warrior's bare feet against the stone, and the rustle of cloth. She could smell the spicy scent of their soap, and the smell got stronger as Zena approached her from behind and laid two warm hands on her shoulders. And with a faint smile, she looked up into the mirror and met pale blue eyes looking back at her. They were both dressed in white, the classic, understated togas that most of the other athletes wore when they weren't at practice. The fabric of these, slightly more formal, fell below their knees and were knotted across one shoulder only, exposing the other along with most of their necks. "Don't we look festive?" Zena drawled. "Come on, let's go run the gauntlet."
I did that already today,
the bard protested, shifting slightly.
And my shoulders can attest to that.
Zena's hands probed gently. You didn't have to beat up all of them, you know. Gabrielle let her head drop forward, abandoning herself to Zena's expert touch.
Oh, like you would have just stopped at one, she muttered. I did 4 practice bouts. I can just imagine what those poor people would have gone through if you'd been there.
Zena's voice tickled her ear. Did you win them all?
Oh, come on now, Zena. It wasn't about winning and losing. You know that. I just...
Gabrielle inhaled sharply as teeth clamped lightly down on her earlobe. Well? The warrior's deep tone tickled.
Well, what?
Gabrielle wondered for a moment.
Well, yeah, she admitted. I did.
Good.
I don't know about that,
the bard disagreed.
I think it'll just make them all come after me.
Xena rested her chin on Bard's shoulder. Not after tonight. She winked, then straightened and dusted a non-existent speck of dust off her Gabrielle's cheek. Let's go. With my luck today, they'll be serving groats for dinner. Gabrielle was just about to answer when she felt Xena stiffen. She turned to see the warrior alert, her nostrils twitching and her eyes narrowed. See?
What do you want?
Xena growled loudly. The bard's eyebrows lifted before she realized her partner wasn't talking to her. Bright blue flash lit the room and revealed a tall, muscular form when it faded.
Ah,
she faced the newcomer.
Speaking of grouts.
Instinctively, Xena turned and placed her body between the bard and the tall, bearded man, now swaggering towards her.
Whatever it is, we're not interested, Ares.
The God of War stopped and regarded her, putting his hands on his leather-clad hips.
What? No hello? No, hey, it's good to see you, Ares. No, how's the family? What's happened to your manners, Xena?
He taunted her.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You were brought up in a stable.
He waggled his fingers at Gabrielle.
Hey, Blondie.
What do you want? Xena refused to let the intimidating figure intimidate her.
What do I want?
Ares came closer and flicked a bit of her toga.
Do I have to want something, Xena? Can't I just stop by and say hello?
No, the warrior stated flatly. Spill it
or get lost.
All traces of lazy humor vanished from the God of War's handsome face.
You know, Xena, you seem to forget who you're talking to.
Xena's pale blue eyes, a match to his own, didn't flicker.
Ares,
you ran from the field of battle. If I ever had any respect for you, that erased it, she told him. You're a gutless coward. Talk or leave. Gamiel almost held her breath, feeling the steely tension in her partner's back. What Xena said may have been true, but Ares was, after all, still a god. Though, she had her own bone to pick with him, after he'd abandoned Xena in the fight against Andreas.
You know, I could...
Ares lifted a hand.
Do it.
Xena shot right back, actually taking a step closer. Her eyes bored right into Ares, almost on level with his own.
Go on, Ares. Prove you have at least half a man's parts.
It was a standoff of wills. Ares flexed his fingers, and there was a crackle of potent power, sending an acrid scent into the room.
You do it, Gabrielle found herself speaking, and I'll make sure you lose that half.
The God of War was still for a moment. Then he turned his head and regarded her.
Did you just say what I think you just said?
He asked, incredulous. Gabrielle nodded.
You sold her out. You skunk!
Ares waved both hands and stepped back.
Whoa, hold it. Let's just get something straight here.
He pointed at his chest.
God?
He pointed at them.
Mortals.
His eyebrows lifted.
Are we understanding me?
The blonde woman edged forward, much to Xena's bemusement. Gabrielle pointed at Ares.
God in need of followers.
She pointed at her own chest.
Bard, in Athens, you could spend the next fortnight telling everyone how you ran from a fight with your tail between your legs.
A pause.
Are we understanding me?
Xena came very close to doubling over in delighted laughter at the look on Ares' face. It was so much more effective than even her own threats would have been, it was hard to believe. The god's jaw had dropped, and he was staring at her partner with such a dumbfounded look that the warrior was very, very close to losing her composure.
You little...
Ares sputtered.
You wouldn't dare.
Gabrielle gave a derisive snort in response. After a moment of evident frustration, Ares typically changed direction and sailed on, dismissing the recent past.
Okay.
He held up his hands, and this time benignly.
I can see sweet-talking isn't going to work, so let me just lay it on the line here.
That's a first, Xena muttered. Ares glared at her.
I don't know what your game is here, Xena, but whatever it is, just cough it up. I'll take care of it.
It wasn't what she expected to hear.
What?
The warrior asked.
You heard me. I know you're in this for something. You, Athens, laurel leaves. Not in this lifetime, Xena. So whatever it is, just tell me. You lose your bankroll gambling again, Ares said. Or, no, let me guess. You entered as a good, rolled eyes, deed for someone.
Neither, Xena replied cautiously.
Well,
he asked, what is it?
I'm telling you, Xena. I'll give it to you. Call it. Oh, old time's sake, if you want, or...
A shrug of powerful leather-clad shoulders.
If you want to consider it an,
He waved his hands.
Apology?
Gabrielle suggested. Ares glared at her. We're trying to get our taxes relieved, Xena stated. For Amphipolis. You saying you can fix that? Ares' bearded lips parted in a grin.
No sweat.
He snapped his fingers.
Taxes? You've really come down in the world, Xena.
So, if we back out of the games, you'll take care of that, huh? Xena persisted, trying to ignore Gabrielle's startled look.
Sure.
The god agreed instantly.
I knew you'd come around. So it's a done deal, right? You're out?
Xena?
The bard broke in.
Hush, Blondie. We got a deal, right, Xena baby?
Ares shushed her.
No,
Xena replied.
No?
Ares repeated.
What do you mean, no? I told you I'd take care of it, Xena. What do you want? A gold statue as collateral?
His voice rose in annoyance.
No,
Xena said again. We're in the games. The god of war put his hands on his hips.
Why would you do that?
Because you don't want me to, the warrior replied. And I'm having fun frustrating you, and whatever little plot you're up to now. Xena smiled viciously. So, unless you want to stand here talking to the bathtub, take off. For a moment, Ares' face froze into a mask of anger. Then just as quickly, he relaxed, a most customary look of insolent arrogance taking over.
You'll regret this, Xena,
he said.
I thought I'd offer you an easy way out. If you'd rather suffer disgrace in front of all the Athens, so be it.
And with a flash, he was gone. The silence was finally broken by Xena's releasing a breath and draping an arm over Gabrielle's shoulders.
He's mad,
Gabrielle commented.
Oh, yeah,
the warrior agreed ruefully.
I got him good, though, didn't I?
Xena chuckled, low and deep in her throat.
You sure did.
She kissed the bard's head with gentle exuberance. Come on, let's go. They walked together out the door, leaving the candles fluttering anxiously behind them. Cyrene looked up as she heard footsteps outside, and exhaled in relief as the door filled to overflowing with damp Amazons. It was almost dark, and she'd been toying with the idea of stepping outside into the grungy, clearing weather.
Thanks to God.
Ephany swung her cloak off, and rifled her fingers through her curly hair. She stepped aside to let the rest of her group enter, and only then did Cyrene see they picked up an extra person. Not sure the gods were really in with us this time. She gave the newcomer a shove towards the wall. Sit down.
Here now, no need to push.
The figure barely recognizable as a scruffily dressed woman of considerable height and weight.
What a temper you've got.
Cyrene regarded her wearily, then studied the rest of the Amazons. Kate and Palladia looked a lot worse for wear, and they circled the fire in silence, stripping off muck-covered clothing as they went.
What happened?
Dory was napping in her folding cradle, but as the women's entered, Tala woke up and peered over the edge of the bed with interest.
What didn't?
Ephany sighed, glancing over the outer wall, where the rest of the elders were huddled in asleep. Kate, you sure you're all right?
Quite,
the girl muttered in a subdued tone.
Cat!
Dory burbled, pointing.
Hello, Dory.
Cat scrubbed her face with a bit of cloth as Palladia thumped down next to her, picking at the drenched laces holding her boots on.
Glad you ended up all right.
Eponin shouldered past Ephany, shrugging off her own cloak and exposing torn leathers and a set of lurid bruises.
Like the rain's not bad enough, we had to find slime bugs crawling around in it.
She gave the stranger by the wall a dour glare.
Hey!
The woman protested.
Yeah, I was thinking we'd fix all that. I was just helping the little wee one to get free, I was.
Yeah. Ephany turned mildly disgusted eyes on her. By cutting her pack loose and taking it. Nice. Cyrene frowned at the woman, then faced Ephany.
Why bring her here?
The Amazarizan took a seat next to her, evidently exhausted.
Better a rat where you can watch it, she said bluntly.
Hey!
The woman protested.
Shut up!
Eppinen growled.
Or I'll introduce you to that wall the hard way.
Bit of a snit, aren't you, then?
The woman shot back.
'Twas my fault you were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
You mean to get in the way of you running away in terror?
Pony said.
Yeah, I should have ducked.
She gave the distinct impression of spitting, though she didn't actually.
Scumbucket.
That'd be Brand Scumbucket, you ugly heathen.
The response was almost cocky. Dory decided this was just too much excitement for her to miss. She crawled over the top of her cradle and landed on the floor, then got up and ambled over to examine their captive.
That!
Her brow wrinkled in displeasure.
And who asked you, you little runt?
The woman growled.
Get over here and say that, why don't you?
Like to threaten everyone smaller than you, I guess, Effany commented dryly. Well, be careful with that one. She could end up more than you can handle. The woman snorted. Serene kept one eye on Dory and gave the pot of mixed odds and ends she'd been working on a stir.
Well, I'm glad you all are back. Thank the gods the weather's clearing.
Yeah, Effany sighed. We picked up some useful stuff from the wreck. I left it just outside to dry. Blankets. She examined a cut on her arm. Clothes. Other things. Kate came over and sat down next to Cyrene.
We gave a try to saving the horses, she said very seriously.
But we didn't. I'm terribly sorry.
The innkeeper put her arm around the shoulders.
That's all right, Kate,
she told her, knowing why the girl was upset.
I'm glad you're okay. That's what matters.
Kate sighed unhappily.
What a rotten day.
Serene had to agree with her. Between the rain, the flood, losing all their things, and losing a good friend, she was well and truly ready for the damn day to be long over with. They had a long night on cold, hard ground to look forward to on top of it. Serene found herself fervently wishing she'd just stayed home.
You know what? I'm too damn old for this.
Me too,
Effany grunted. Kate looked from one to the other.
I suppose I would get quite thump if I said me too, wouldn't I?
Yes.
They both answered at once.
Right,
the youngest Amazon exhaled.
Well then, I could do with less excitement right about now, and more dry bedding.
Effany studied her. It wasn't like Kate to complain.
You sure you're all right?
She asked in a low voice. Kate was silent for a moment.
Yes.
You're not just pulling a Xena on me, are you?
The regent prodded gently. That got the tiniest smile from Kate.
I might be. A bit,
she admitted.
I don't feel quite right. I think I'll go have a bit of a rest over by Pally.
I'll give you some soup for the both of you.
Cyrene wrestled one of the old wooden bowls they salvaged out. Here. She ladled out the soup while Effany half turned to watch their toddling charge. Dory studied her victim a moment.
Bad,
she pronounced.
Ugh. Yeah, come here, you.
The woman lunged towards her and reached a hand out, only to recoil violently as a hideous growl erupted.
Yeah!
Ares rushed forward, putting his furry body between her and Dory, ruff raised and teeth bared. With a frown, Kate got up and walked over, stepping past a furious wolf.
Now look here,
she said sternly.
You really are quite an idiot.
Bran glared at her, but back towards the wall.
It's you who's knocked in the head,
she muttered.
Wasn't going to hurt the tyke.
You had better not, Kate told her. The last person who tried that had their heart pulled right out of their chest.
She paused for effect,
while it was still thumping.
Oh, right,
Bran snorted.
I'd be leaving that right after you showing me a cow jumping over the moon. Hey!
She yelped as a handful of muck hit her in the face.
Why you?
Bat!
Dory insisted stoutly.
Uggy! Great judge of character. Gets that from her mom. Wouldn't be you then,
Bran taunted her. Kate picked Dory up and bounced her a bit.
Come on then, Dory. Let's go over there. I'll tell you a bit of a story, all right?
Story!
The child recognized the word with a squeal of delight.
Go get Mama.
No.
Kate gave her a wry look.
I'm certainly not in Gabrielle's league, Dory. But we'll see what we can do.
She walked over to where Palladi had settled and was giving her a dour look and took a seat next to her with Dory in her lap.
What would you like to hear?
Boo! Dory said immediately. Boo and Mama!
Kate grinned.
Her favorite.
She gave Polly a look as the other Amazon groaned.
Mine too.
She leaned back against the wall and settled Dory more comfortably.
Right. Let's hear about how Xena saved Gabrielle in the Centaur village. Okay?
Okay.
Palladia moaned and stuffed bits of cloth in her ear. Everyone else chuckled tiredly. Effin accepted a small bowl of soup from Cyrene and took a sip from its edge before passing it to Eponin. Share? The weapons master took it gladly, taking a mouthful of soup and tasting it as she had listened to Kate's young voice start the tale. After a few moments, her eyes flicked instinctively around the stone room, finally setting on their unwelcome guest. A crafty look had settled on the woman's features as she listened. It sent prickles up and down Eponin's spine. She nudged F's leg and tilted a jaw in Brand's direction. Effany's hazel eye met hers, then went in the indicated direction for a long moment before returning to latch onto hers again.
Should've killed her,
Pony muttered under her breath. Effany's brows creased sharply, she thought.
Can't leave her there with them, she uttered subvocally, indicating the others. Have to take her with us.
Eponin rolled her eyes very expressively.
Yeah.
The regent grunted sympathetically.
Like we needed more problems.
She leaned against Pony's shoulder.
You know what I think? Maybe it's not Gabrielle.
A pause.
Maybe it's us.
Eponin squeaked. The dining room was different than Gabrielle expected. It was already busy, full of their fellow competitors. But she'd been anticipating a large, square, open area and found something very much else. The space was large, but it was full of many levels of platforms and vine-covered columns, making a pocket of seating areas separated by half-steps and tinkly fountains. Xena regarded the room, one eyebrow lifting. Nice. She held an arm out, her lips quirking into a smile as Bart accepted the offer. Let's find us a nice table. Gabrielle followed her lead willingly, trusting Xena to make sure she didn't trip and fall, as she let her eyes wander over the room in frank curiosity. The fountain seemed to be lightly scented. The mist that coated her face as she passed him held a tang of lime and the soft brush of jasmine. It was cool in the room, despite the crowd. Servers clad in only loincloths brushed past them, with trays that left enticing smells in their wake, and Gabrielle was forcibly reminded of the fact that she passed up lunch in the excitement of the day. Here. Xena's voice caught her attention, and she glanced past the warrior to see a comfortable-looking enclave, several levels up and against one of the walls. The seating area was sunken around a stone table, with an oil lamp fluttering in its center. Large, fluffy pillows plumped invitingly around the edges. There was space enough for perhaps 8 people. They were the first ones to have found the spot, and Gabrielle gladly settled down into the crook of one corner with Xena, as they waited to see who would join them. On the table, a flagon rested, and the bard nodded as Xena lifted it and poured them, both cupful of its contents. She sniffed it, then took a snip, rolling the rich, fruity wine around in her mouth before she swallowed.
Not bad.
Xena leaned back and tasted the wine, then turned ahead to study Gabrielle's profile.
Reminds me of the little seaside town in the west, she said. Remember that? Some kind of festival, wasn't it?
Of Dionysus, yes.
Gabrielle smiled a little in remembrance.
I discovered your unexpected romantic streak there, she replied. It felt like such a dream.
Xena chuckled, then leaned over and offered her bard her cup. Gabrielle set her lips on the edge and allowed a mouthful to be tipped in, while she extended her own arm towards a partner. Xena took a mouthful from a glass, then they closed with each other and kissed, mingling the wine with a gentle teasing of their tongues. Gabrielle sat back when they parted, enjoying the sweet single on her lips. She reached over impulsively and laced her fingers with the warriors as they sipped in silence, just looking into each other's eyes until the scuff of boots against the stone made them look up to see who was just entering. But it was just a server, who brought over the table a tray filled with overflowing with edibles. He gave them a quick, abashed bow and knelt, setting the bowls of fruit and platters of steaming flatbread down on the table, along with crocks of thick, spicy-smelling cheese. Then he stood.
"M'ladies."
He had a low, husky voice and charming brown eyes.
"We have roast lamb tonight, and codfish. I will bring them shortly."
Then he turned and left. Gabrielle sat up and reached to the bread, ripping off a chunk and dipping it into the cheese. She also snagged a handful of grapes and returned to her spot, nibbling on the bread hungrily.
Here.
She worked loose a grape and offered it to Xena. Thanks. Zine accepted the grape, biting down lightly in Gabrielle's fingertips before she started chewing it. So, she got herself a hunk of bread and some cheese and sat back, leaning on her shoulder so she could face the bar.
What do you figure the game is?
Gabrielle knew exactly what she was talking about. She licked a finger reflectively and cleared her throat.
Well, it's pretty obvious, right? He's got someone on the games he's wagering on.
She nibbled a grape.
So he's trying to talk you out of competing because he figures it messes up his odds.
Zina nodded.
That's about what I figured.
She agreed, extending one hand idly and tracing the edge of the bar deer.
We're going to have to watch out.
Don't we always?
Gabrielle asked wryly. Another scuff of boots and they looked up, but this time two tall men and three women entered, pausing as they were spotted, then continuing into the alcove.
Gabrielle, hello again,
the first man said, with a mildly shy look in Zena's direction.
Ah, her erstwhile opponent in the list. Hi,
Gabrielle gestured to the pillows.
Join us.
She swallowed hastily and sat up a little.
Let's see. Tellen, Alendria, and I don't know your friend, but, this is Zina, she said, my partner.
Funny, Gabrielle took just a bare moment to acknowledge how it still thrilled her to say that.
Hello.
Tellen took a seat prudently far enough from the lazily watching warrior.
Nice to meet you.
Zina cocked an eyebrow at him.
Same here,
she drawled.
So you're Zina,
the other man stated in a deep bass voice. He was almost a giant, head taller than Zina herself, with shoulders that looked like a wagon could rest on them.
I've heard a lot about you.
Blue and green eyes met. Gabrielle fixed him with a warm smile.
Really? From who?
The man took a seat directly across from them and spread huge, muscular arms out as he picked up a wine flagon and poured himself a cup.
Just talk on the streets,
he replied.
Wild stories.
It must be yours, Zina replied, giving Gabrielle's hair a little tweak. The burly man regarded them.
Zina and her famous bard. How'd I figure I'd be having dinner with such notorious people?
He laughed with a tinge of unpleasantness.
I hear we're your competitors tomorrow.
Zina lifted an eyebrow. You're an archer?
I'm everything,
the man boasted.
I won the last 5 Athens regional matches in everything I entered.
He gazed at Zina.
Including archery. What about you?
The warrior stretched an arm casually out across the pillows, circling Gabrielle's shoulders unobtrusively.
Well, last time I did any real shooting, she thought back, I killed everyone I shot at.
Blue eyes narrowed slightly as Zina smiled.
I didn't get any ribbons for it, though.
Zina, intimidation princess. Gabrielle rubbed her jaw a little as she hid a smile, recognizing the half-playful, half-dangerous tone in her partner's voice. She wondered if someone distultish and obvious was Ares' champion, then reviewed that thought and figured it was good odds he was.
Well, maybe you won't tomorrow, either.
The man rallied.
Not with Samson in the lists.
Would that be you?
Gabrielle gently inquired.
Just so I know who to go watch.
Samson smiled at her broadly, his teeth showing white even inside his dark beard.
That it would,
he replied.
You've heard of me, of course.
No, Gabrielle answered mildly. Sorry, I don't get to Athens much.
She glanced at her partner.
You?
Zina shook her head solemnly.
Nope.
Their server returned, putting a pause in the action as he set down platters full of steaming meats and fish on the table. He added cruets of spices and sauces, then bowed deeply.
My lord, my ladies, is there anything else you desire?
Ale.
Samson cuffed him.
And bring me the biggest pitcher you have. I'll drink these lightweights under the table.
Gabrielle leaned over and lowered her voice.
This is like having dinner with your mother's pig.
She felt a shudder as Zina laughed silently.
Except the pig has better manners, and he's cuter.
The server left, but his place was taken by 2 husky youths, stripped to the waist with oiled skin that caught the light from the table torch. They carried 2 swords each, and they crossed them neatly over the chest as they bowed to the table.
I suppose hoping for a harpist as entertainment for the crowd was asking too much, huh?
Gabrielle groused good-naturedly.
Hey. Hey, now this is my kind of show.
Zina whispered back as the two faced off. They were barefoot, and their hair was held tightly back by a thin band of colored fabric. Both made a tiny show of flipping their double swords in their hands as they circled each other, then sprang into combat. Gabrielle forward and leaning forward to grab herself some meat and bread, fitting them together and taking a bite before she handed off to Xena. The room rang with the sounds of clashing steel and the soft hiss of breasts as the boys fought, their bare feet scuffling and sapling against the hard stone floor. Far off past the room, she could hear the sounds of music, pipes and a low clash of percussion. Her nose wrinkled slightly, too, as she detected strange scents in the air. Thick, cloyingly, spicy notes that tickled the back of her throat. Xena glanced up at the ceiling, then down at her. Incense, she murmured.
Yeah.
Gabrielle rubbed her nose.
Feels weird.
Don't breathe too deeply, the warrior cautioned.
I won't.
Gabrielle went back to nibbling her bread and meat, enjoying the earthy taste of the lamb. She'd always felt a little ambivalent about liking the meat, knowing from a young age that the tiny animal she'd grown up with, played with, would come to her on a plate like this someday. She remembered the first time she'd seen one slaughtered, one that she'd raised and cared for, and how much that had hurt. But she'd gotten over that as she'd grown older, and she understood that dying was a part of life, that some animals died so she could live, and eat them, and grow up, and grow stronger. It had been tough, though. Lambs were such cute animals. Gabrielle bit into a mouthful and chewed, until they bit you the first time, that is. The two boys locked into a hold for a moment, chest heaving, sweat rolling down their bodies. Then they shoved off and circled again, the swords whirling and striking each other in the music of steel that she had little appreciation for. Xena, on the other hand, Gabrielle watched her partner out of the corner of her eye, feeling the subtle shifts of bone and muscle next to her as the warrior absorbed the fight and her body reacted unconsciously to it. The hand draped over her shoulder twitched, and Xena's fingers curled into a light fist, seeking a sword hilt she didn't have with her.
They're pretty good,
the bard hazarded an opinion. Yeah, Xena murmured. A little on the green side, but did you see that underhanded combination? You do that wrong, you lose a thumb. The bard agreed solemnly. Look at that twist. You see that? The over-the-wrist move? It's a cheat. Xena went on, her voice taking on a tinge of intimate interest. It's meant to distract the other guy's left-hand sword, but if he really did take a hit there, he'd break a bone.
Really?
Yeah.
Child's play!
Samson booed out.
Why must I watch these little puppies? Why, I could brush them off with just one wave in my hand.
He leaped up from his seat in the pit and swiped the nearest boy's sword from his hands, shoving him out of the way and going after his partner.
Here, let me show you.
Gabrielle felt Xena's hands flexing for a completely different reason. Though it was still searching for a hilt, she curled her fingers around the warrior's hand and lifted up to her lips, kissing fingers still slightly scented from their bath. Samson was brutal. He went after the confused and outside his normal fighting style, inexperienced boy with quick, savage cuts that had him stumbling backwards within minutes. The bigger man was skilled and amazingly graceful given his style, and he handled the weapons with consummate grace. That didn't excuse the arrogant savageness of his attack, though. With a quick two-handed swipe, he disarmed the boy, and rather than stopping, let his strokes continue to slice through the bare skin of his chest, sending a fine spray of blood out into the sickening arc. The boy cried out in pain and fear. Gabrielle slid to one side, gracefully clearing a path for the sudden movement she felt, the genesis of, as Xena got up and flowed past her, anger shimmering from every motion. Samson flipped the sword, not seeing Xena's approach, and went back for more. He was surprised to find his forward motion halted, and half-turned as Xena jerked him backwards, giving him a shove that sent him stumbling slightly to one side.
Ah!
His voice boomed out, not a bit upset.
Proper sword fodder, I'm thinking.
He laughed and stepped back, twirling the swords and waiting. Xena cocked her head at the bleeding man and held her hands out. He dropped the swords into them with stunning speed, a look of pathetic gratitude in his eyes.
Go on. Sit down.
Xena jerked her jaw towards the table as she stalked past where he'd been standing and paused, flexing her hands around the sword hilts. They were lighter than her usual weapon, and she hefted them, getting used to the feel. It had been a while since she'd done double blades, but she ran through the basics in her mind as she fixed her eyes on Samson, flicking the swords over and over, curling her index finger at him.
Come here, straw for brains.
He came forward without hesitation, flexing his arms as he circled her.
A fool am I? We'll see who's the bigger fool is.
Now, Gabrielle's attention was riveted to the fight. She watched her partner anxiously, knowing the warrior's leg was still chancy and very sore. She couldn't tell, though. In Xena's movement, she responded to Samson's attack, her eyes fastened on his body, her defenses shifting and ducking under his attack with fluid grace. He was good. Xena acknowledged that, testing both his reflexes and her own with a few quicksilver moves. She felt her body settling into rhythm that Double Sword required, a coordination of mind and body that would let her accept Samson's skillful slices. He attacked her with full force. The blade spun towards her head, and she parried them by instinct, angling the blades to deflect his greater weight and size. She carried both blades down along hers and let them slide off, then quickly slashed upward, catching him as he was getting his weapons back into position and sending both of his arms outward as he tried to contain the blow. It opened his breast up, and with a target that large, Xena took her shot, the razor tips of the blades slicing through the fabric he wore. He threw himself backwards and angrily shook his hair out of his eyes, glancing down at the neat cuts. And next, of course, Xena grinned at him. Now he was serious. All appearances of lazy joking disappeared, and he attacked her in earnest, his swords blurring as he fought to force her backwards with sheer weight. Xena let him for a few steps. Then she ducked under his sweeping thrust and made him turn to follow her, even with her legs still much faster than he was. She fainted to one side. Then, as he savagely slashed where she would have been, the warrior changed direction and, crouching, leaped into the air and threw a two-handed combination at him, confusing him completely at the odd direction and scope of her attack. She landed neatly and started forward, swinging the blades in a solid circular rhythm that he tried to parry. He fought her off for a few moments, but Xena's skill and power behind her attack was like nothing else he'd ever had to deal with, and bit by bit, step by step, he started to retreat. She backed him off in cleared area and towards the table, advancing relentlessly with quick, short strokes that his larger reach couldn't parry. He fended her off, but kept retreating, his face changing expression from determined to disbelief and then to fear. She didn't let up. She didn't say a word, her eyes pinning him mercilessly, as she took first one sword, then the other out of his hands, with a crash of steel. Then, in one blinding motion, she kicked him in the chest, sending him sprawling back onto the seats. One booted foot braced on the table as she leaned forward and pressed the blade against his throat, while the other, seemingly unsupervised, flicked out and severed the top flower on the bouquet that rested on the table. With a flick, the blade turned flat on and batted the flower, sending it into a lazy arc to land to the Gabrielle's lap just as Xena leaned forward and pricked Samson's throat with the edge of the other. For a moment, the only sound was the harshness of Samson's breathing. He was frozen in place, staring at the feral warrior, crouched over him, finding death so close it was kneeling on his chest. "I," Xena finally spoke, her voice low and potent, "am everything." She poked him. "You are a bag full of hot air with no class and less sense." With a faint snort, she straightened, flipping the blades around, then tossing them lightly towards the archway, sending them across the stone floor with a clatter. Then she turned her back on her adversary and started back around the table, taking her seat next to Gabrielle, putting a possessive arm back around the bard. Gabrielle merely lifted her flower and sniffed it appreciatively. "I've got the cushiest job, as a bard there is," she remarked. "All I have to do is to write the truth." She reached up and tucked the flower behind Xena's ear, then settled into the crook of her arm with a contented grunt. "Piece of cake." It was very quiet after that, at least until the belly dancers came in. To be continued. Well, that concludes the 89th episode of XNU, and that is half of chapter, or part 8, of A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. Always check out my Blogspot for the read-along website so you can read along while I'm talking to you and narrating it for you. As usual, please, everyone, if you have any suggestions for the show, such as a book review, a song you would like to hear on the show, a movie review, if you want to give a shout-out, a birthday shout-out, a wedding announcement, or an anniversary announcement, send me an email at xena.uber@gmail.com. Also, please, I need your assistance. I need some suggestions for the 100th episode. We're looking at 11 episodes away, which is really exciting for me, but also nerve-wracking because I need to figure out something to make it a worthwhile event. I mean, besides the fact that it's 100 episodes and I've been doing this for a little over, well, actually a bit over a year now, and 100 is a very big milestone in the podcast arena. So please send me any ideas, whether it be story suggestions,
people sending in their little snippets of voices where they actually give me a shout out and say, hey, thanks for the show, or something like that. Competition ideas, whether it be write a story or something like to the effect of maybe doing a time snippet where I'll do a short story in a here and now moment and bring you up to date where everything's going. Anything, any ideas, send me an email at xena.uber@gmail.com or check out the blogspot and send me an email there. My blogspot is www.xena-ubers.blogspot.com. So until the next episode, take care and enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.